She was able to take part in the conversations, and she understood the Latin. And the nuns also were trained in Latin. One time, Luther turned to Aunt Lena, who had been in the nunnery with Catherine. And he said to her, "Would you like to go back?" And instead of saying in German, "Nein," she said in Latin, "Non." So the nuns could understand, and Katie could take part in the conversation. She was a very good conversationalist. Luther said she could teach German better to an Englishman than he could. She was, however, so voluble that he suggested that she should say the Lord's Prayer before opening her mouth. She was quite deferential toward him. She called him Herr Doktor and used the polite form of speech in addressing him. She would, as a pupil, ask instruction. She said, "Herr Doktor, what is dialectic?" "Dialectic," said Luther, "is knowing how to do the washing, and rhetoric is getting it done." She asked a more difficult question when she said, "How could David say, 'Judge me according to my righteousness,' when he didn't have any?" She didn't hesitate on occasion to rebuke her husband. Once he said something really nasty about Schwenkfeld. Catherine broke in, "Come now, that's too raw." And she could be recalcitrant. He wanted her to read the whole Bible through by Easter one year, and he offered her 50 gulden if she did. He said she already knows the Psalms better than the papists. But before Easter came, she balked. She said, "I've read enough, I know enough, I've heard enough. Would to God I lived it." And on one occasion, she positively disagreed with him. For morning devotions, he told the story of Abraham and Isaac, and of the great agony of Abraham when God commanded him to kill his son Isaac. He said, "I don't believe it." He said, "God wouldn't have done that to his son." And Luther answered, "But Katie, he did." Although she thought that he was at times too raw, on occasion she pushed him to engage in controversy. When Erasmus wrote his tract against Luther on the freedom of the will, Melanchthon wrote to Erasmus and said, "Your tract hasn't created any particular stir in Wittenberg," and Luther was minded to pass it over. But one of the students of Luther thought he ought to reply and went around and got a hold of Katie and said, "You put the pressures on him." So she urged him to reply, and he came out with his vigorous attack on Erasmus. So she didn't always ask him to take it coolly. Luther, in the we learned from the table talk, sometimes would tease her. He told her that in the Old Testament polygamy was allowed. "Well," she said, "in the New Testament Paul says that the bishop should that each should have his own wife." "Yes," said Luther, "but it doesn't say just one." "Well, if it comes to that," said she, "I'm going to leave you and the children and go back to the nunnery." He teased her on another occasion when she struck her side and she said, "Ave Maria." He says, "Why didn't you ask Christ to help you?" He makes references to her in his table talk. He says, "To tell a German that an olive crop has been spoiled doesn't mean a thing. It's something else to say that the hops and the malt have been ruined," as Katie's were. "Again," said the doctor, "if I might advise God, I would suggest that he charge for what he gives men, for a wife, child, eye, foot, hand, mouth, nose, feet, stomach, each 100 florin. I'd pay 100 florin if he'd give Katie more milk." Then we have his letters to her. written, as I say, when he was called off on missions or when she was away at Zulsdorf. In 1532, he writes, Meine Herz Liebe, if Dr. Brick will release me from the business of the elector, I hope to be home tomorrow. Pray God he may bring us home well. I sleep 6 or 7 hours, and then 2 or 3. The beer does it, I suspect. I am sober as at Wittenberg. The elector's body is as healthy as a fish, but the devil has bitten his foot. Since our servant John is leaving, I hope you'll give him something. I leave it to your discretion. He wouldn't have said that when they were married. He leaves it to her now. He says, by the way, I can't find any suitable presents for the children in this town. Won't you see if you can dig up something at home for me to give them? The next one. Grace and peace to my dear Lord Katie. I thought of what good wine and beer I have at home and what a lovely wife. Or should I say, Lord, you do well to send me our whole cellar full of wine. I commend you to God. The next, to the rich lady of Zulsdorf. The conference with the Catholics was a waste of time. The elector has lost 1,000 acres through fire. Our Lord Christ will come and light such a fire under the devils they won't be able to put it out. I don't know whether this letter will reach you at Wittenberg or Zulsdorf, or I would have written some more. The next one. To Katie of Zulsdorf. I wonder why you don't write. We're worried about you. Sell what you can and come home. It looks to me as if God will empty the vials of his wrath upon us. Luther in his last days was sick in body and mind. He left Wittenberg and wrote back. To my dear wife, Catherine von Bora, preacher, brewer, gardener, and whatever else she may be. Don't want to come back to Wittenberg. My heart is cold. Give the black cloister back to the elector. Sell everything and move to Zulsdorf if you like. My salary will help fix it up if the elector let me have it for another year. The women at Wittenberg dress so shamelessly, the word of God is despised, only to get out of this Sodom. I just can't stand the wrath and the loathing any longer. Well, she showed that letter to Melanchthon, and he and a few friends went and got Luther and brought him home. His spirit rallied. A request came. Can we take just a few more minutes?
Yes, more.
A request came from the Dukes of Mansfeld, who were quarreling over mining rights, that Luther should that somebody should come and reconcile them. They asked Melanchthon. He was too sick to go. Luther was too sick to live, but he went. We have his letters back. Katie sent the two boys to be at hand if he collapsed. He said, I was very weak when we got to Eisleben, but I'm better now. But still, I haven't enough vitality to look at pretty women, so I'm in no danger of going astray. To the next letter, to my saintly worrying Lady Catherine. Doctor at Zulsdorf and Wittenberg, my gracious dear wife, we thank you for being so worried that you can't sleep. But since you started worrying, a fire broke out and a stone fell from the roof, and except for the dear angels, would have crushed us like mouse in a trap. If you don't stop worrying, I'm afraid the earth will swallow us. Haven't you learned the catechism? Don't you believe? Pray and let God worry. Cast your burden on the Lord. We're all well except that Jonas banged his ankle. He's jealous of me and wanted to have something the matter with him too. We hope soon to be released and come home. The next letter, we can come home this week. The Dukes have made up. I'm going to invite them as guests that they may talk to each other. I'm sending you some trout given to me by the Duchess of Hohenstein. She's very happy over the reconciliation. The boys are still at Mansfeld. We're so well treated here, we're in danger of forgetting Wittenberg. Dr. Jonas is having trouble with his leg again. There are rumors of wars. We'll wait and see what God will do. God be with you. Amen. And the end did come. And the boys were there. And then Katie faced all of the problems that she knew would come. The elector told her the thing for her to do was to give up the farm, to give up the black cloister, to come and live in a little apartment that he would provide, and he'd give her a little stipend so that she and Margaret could live together and the boys could go off to school. But not Katie. She was going to keep that cloister. She'd rent out those rooms. She'd keep the farm at Zulsdorf, and she got another farm. She almost fought for it for 2 years until she got it. And then she sowed it and she reaped it herself. And then came the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The emperor at last was free from his wars and able to come up to Germany with Spanish and Spanish troops to stamp out Lutheranism and restore the Mass. Wittenberg was besieged. Katie with the children fled to Magdeburg. The war receded. She came back to find desolation. Her orchard cut down, her garden rooted up, her livestock driven off. Only the black cloister was left. She started to put it into shape again. There came another wave of war, another flight, another desolation, another return, another attempt at restoration. And then came the plague. Boys were off at school, but Paul was with her and Margaret. She took them with horse and wagon to drive to Torgau. On the way, the horse bolted. Katie jumped, thinking that she might be able to hold him in from the side, but she landed on her back, rolled over into a ditch of cold water. She was retrieved and taken into Torgau, where her daughter Margaret, now 18, nursed her for 3 months until her death. Her last words were, "I'll stick to Christ as a burr to a top coat." She emerges as a woman of character and courage, sensible, non-sentimental, hard-headed, tender, determined, and usually right. She did not engage in the public affairs of the Reformation as some other women did, but she gave the tone to the first Protestant parsonage, and very largely to German domestic life, authoritarian, paternalistic, with no nonsense, at the same time tenderly affectionate and marked by utter devotion. Luther's own views of marriage were profoundly influenced by his experience. Here are two brief testimonies. "Nothing is more sweet than harmony in marriage, and nothing more distressing than dissension. Next to it is the loss of a child. I know how that hurts. Marriage offers the greatest sphere for good works because it rests on love, love between the husband and the wife, love of the parents for the children whom they nourish, clothe, rear, and nurse. If a child is sick, the parents are sick with worry. If the husband is sick, the wife is as concerned as if it were herself. If it be said that marriage entails concern, worry, trouble, it's all true, but these the Christian is not to shun. Youthful infatuation does not last. Just as at the wedding at Cana, attended by Christ, the wine gave out, and there was no beer, and the and the bridegroom stood there like a bear. Mary then went to Jesus and told him the wine was empty. He answered as it were, 'Do you have to drink water? That is, do you have trouble in the outward man, and is it bitter? See then, I'll make it sweet and turn the water into wine. I'll not pour out the water, it will have to stay, but I will perfect it. I'll not take the vexation out of marriage, I may even increase it, but it will turn out wonderfully, as they only know who have tasted it.'" Luther was fond of saying, "Let the wife make her husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave."